Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be discussing the upcoming solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024. So I'm doing this podcast a little early. I usually wait to do new moon, full moon forecasts until we're a little bit closer to the actual event. But as you all know, eclipses can be felt many days, weeks in advance, and can be felt afterwards. And so I wanted to share a podcast about this super powerful eclipse well in advance. So if any of you are experiencing any of these eclipse side effects, you kind of know what's going on. And I also want to say that next week you can expect an eclipse podcast again, doing the horoscopes for each of the 12 zodiac signs. If you want those early, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast, where I'm going to post them on Monday. But I'll do a brief overview as usual next Friday. So a total solar eclipse that is directly hitting North America. I feel so grateful to have audience from all over the world, and the vast majority of folks listening are from North America. And what a wild time to be alive. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience to have the solar eclipse directly hit where we live, and have it being a total solar eclipse. This is actually quite... kind of a big deal. We were talking before, and just before I get too into this, remember that here in Astrology Now, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology. So it's different than the Western tropical system. So the signs I'm going to be using are the astronomically precise placement of the planet. So if you want, you can get a star app, go outside, look at the night sky. The placements that you see the planets in are what we're going to be discussing today. So anyway, at the beginning of the year, we were talking about 2024 being a year like no other. And one of the many reasons why I said that at the beginning of the year is because of this eclipse that we have. So in the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, when we have a new moon in the sign of Pisces, this is called the Vedic New Year. And we can use the chart of the new moon to make predictions for the year from any given place. So if I was in Germany, I would calculate the exact moment of the eclipse using the location in Germany. For the United States, I'm going to be calculating the exact moment of the eclipse from Washington, D.C. And so we're going to talk about this chart today and some of the predictions that I have for the United States based off of this new moon chart. And again, the reason why it's such a big deal this year is because it's not just a new moon. It's not just new moon in Pisces. It's also the total solar eclipse. So this is a year of pretty big karmic implications for us as a collective, for everyone around the world. And even in our personal lives, it's a huge time of beginnings and endings and up-leveling and chasing personal goals, personal ambitions, and really striving to be the best that we can be with personal growth and personal development, maybe even spiritual growth and spiritual development. And so for today, how I'm planning to organize is just kind of talking about the eclipse in general, doing some of the Vedic New Year predictions, talking about other astrological ongoings, and then Chaitra Navaratri, which is a very special time, which we'll get into later. So, all right. It's Friday as I'm posting this. It's actually it's 9:30 as I'm recording it. I usually record the day before. I recorded another podcast. It just wasn't what I wanted. I think it's because Mercury is about to go retrograde, so I just felt compelled to re-record it. So anyway, we're kind of in this period that runs between eclipses. So we just had our lunar eclipse, and now we are preparing for our solar eclipse on April 8th. This window of time is referred to as eclipse season. And eclipse season is notorious for being this period of time where we can experience massive changes endings, beginnings, opportunities, windows of opportunity open, and we get to decide if we move through them or not. I do want to say, around eclipse season, I usually advise people not to make any big decisions. If you can manage it, it's not the best time to make any big life-altering decisions. However, eclipse season has a tendency to force us to make these decisions and to make these judgment calls and to make these changes. So don't get superstitious about it. Don't get freaked out if you're needing to sign a contract or make a deal or make a decision or you meet somebody. Don't freak out about it. It's just if there's something that's within your control, maybe hold off, especially if you are feeling fear or anxiety. Eclipses have a tendency to stir up fear and anxiety because the eclipses involve the luminaries. The luminaries are the sun and the moon. Both of these planets have to do with consciousness. And eclipses are intrinsically karmic because we wouldn't have an eclipse without the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu. So this is why eclipses just by nature have karmic implication. But all of that being said, around the eclipses, we can feel a little anxiety. We can feel a little spun out, a little ungrounded. Try not to make decisions based off of fear. If you start feeling this fear emerge, if you feel anxiety, if you feel paranoia, try not to make any decisions or start any conversations because of the fear. Wait until it passes. Try to sit it out and have those conversations or make those decisions after the anxiety passes, because it absolutely will pass. Eclipses also have a tendency to bring things to light in our personal life. I've seen this so many times. The eclipse energy can help us have... Oh, my cat just sneezed. Bless you, Evie. Eclipses can have this way of revealing information to us. So it could be an inner epiphany, like a self-discovery, but it could also be something in the outer world that we learn, that we take note of, and it can change things in a pretty drastic way. There's so many personal stories in terms of things that I've learned during eclipses or things that have come to light for me. One of the big ones last time, it was last fall, I really had kind of like an intense anxiety moment. And in that moment, due to my patterns, like my thought patterns that caused some anxiety, I was able to really heal it in a deep way. And I haven't had anxiety about the same thing since. And So I have health anxiety. Okay. I've always had health anxiety. So I was having a moment and I was having this like health anxiety, and the way that like conversations that I had and experiences that I had around it really helped get to the root of that patterning, and I was able to heal it. So like for the most part, I would say. But anyway, I'm sharing that because it could be that we learn something about somebody or we learn something about a situation, but it could also be gaining insight for things that we can heal and reconcile in ourselves, in our relationships, in our jobs, etc. But just displaying how eclipses bring things to light. I mean, Quiet on Set was released and all of these people are learning about the atrocities that have taken place on Nickelodeon. I mean, what an absolute horror story. Like truly, I watched that. I don't usually watch TV, but my friend Vanessa recommended it to me, and I trust Vanessa. She has like 5 plans in Leo. She's like the entertainment queen. So she tells me something and I watch it. And it was just like unbelievably shocking. So all of that corruption is coming to light. This stuff with Kate Middleton and the royal family, information is coming to light. Things seem, you know, it's kind of drawing attention to the royal family. Sean Combs, otherwise known as Puff Daddy or Diddy, all of these horrible allegations being made against him. I mean, corruption and information is really coming to the surface. And this is what eclipses can do. And what's fascinating is that this eclipse is taking place between Pisces and Virgo. And Pisces is the 12th sign and Virgo is the 6th sign. And so this is the 6-12 axis. Okay. So we really, when we're doing global predictions and we're looking at things globally, we need to really think about the numbers, the numerology, and what they govern. And so the 612 axis is all about enemies, opposition, competition, people who hurt us, you know, again, like enemies. And the 12th house is hidden enemies and secrets and things from the past. Of course, it's also spirituality, it's moksha, liberation, it's the most spiritual house. There's also this great connection to health and wellness and vitality with this axis as well. There's a lot of health stuff coming up now. We see health issues in the media, and then we also see these really amazing technological breakthroughs with health and wellness, which we anticipated with this axis, right? In the Rahu K2 axis, we talked about this. Something that we discovered when we were doing the research on Rahu and K2 is all of the profound transplants that were done for the first time in this axis with Rahu and Pisces and K2 and Virgo. We saw the first swine, the first genetically modified swine kidney transplant to a human. Wild, wild, like futuristic stuff is going on. And so again, the eclipses can kind of bring these things up. And then of course, the ceasefire took place. This was something else that happened on the eclipse. A woman, Yasmin, brought this to my attention. It was like the day of the lunar eclipse, and she texted me and she was saying, isn't it so wild that there's a ceasefire in Gaza on the lunar eclipse, and the ceasefire is intended to last until April 9th, which is right around the solar eclipse is April 8th. So somewhere in the world, it's around April 9th. It's just extraordinary how these things work. And I do want to talk about, you know, peace and humanity and the hopes for peace in Gaza and in Israel and that part of the world. It's absolutely tragic. And so, you know, April 8th, April 9th, I do anticipate some intensity. Again, this is a total solar eclipse in the sign of Pisces in the nakshatra of Revati. And so Revati is the final sign of the zodiac. So this sign really does represent beginnings and endings. There are 12 signs that we all know, right? Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, 12 signs. And then we have the 27 nakshatras. And each of the 27 nakshatras really allow us to dive into astrology and really get an accurate read of what may happen. And so this nakshatra, Revati, it's the final sign. It is the bridge between beginnings and endings. And so there are going to be massive ends and massive beginnings around this period of time on a global level as well as on a personal level. And Revati is governed by the god Pushan. I love Revati. I love Pushan. If you are a traveler, Pushan is a friend of yours. So Pushan is the god that supports travelers on their journey. He makes sure that people arrive home safely. He also ushers spirits between realms to ensure that spirits are going to where they need to go, right? It's that last nakshatra. It's that bridge between the spirit realm and the material realm again and again and again. So Pushan helps usher spirits forward. Pushan is the god of patronage, connection, friendship, marriage. It's one of the most friendly nakshatras. And that's not to say that this eclipse will be without hardship. I think that this eclipse, again, I can't stress enough, I think it's going to be incredibly intense. And I think that there will be great calls for peace. I think that there are going to be a lot of calls for humanitarian support, for harmony amongst people. I do think that there could be some emphasis on travel as well. I think that there could be some, again, just like extra emphasis on the travel businesses. For example, there could be some sort of big event that occurs in traveling. That being said, I mean, I wouldn't recommend traveling around this period if you could manage it. I know a lot of people who are, again, try not to get too superstitious about it, but if it can be avoided, I would recommend not traveling on the eclipse, just because we're having this complete solar eclipse in Revati. It can kind of like skew the energy. So though Revati is usually associated to safety while traveling, I wouldn't necessarily recommend traveling around this time, and Mercury will be retrograde as well. But anyway, with travel agencies and travel companies, there's already been a lot of drama. And so there may be something coming up where they're trying to reconcile that and they're trying to repair it and make it better. There could also be something else happening with traveling. It could be planes, but it could also be cars or boats. You know, we saw this event recently with the boat running into the bridge, right? It's like, that's obviously an error with something that is in transport. So these are the types of things that we need to be mindful of. And on a personal level, with this eclipse falling in Pisces, it is an amazing time to offer hospitality and generosity to the world around us. Revati is very hospitable. It's very generous. It's very compassionate and kind. It's just slowing down, trying not to act off impulse, trying to be quite generous around this period. And I also want to say, with Virgo and Pisces, this axis, it's an amazing time to get healthier physically, spiritually, mentally, to do any type of cord cutting that you need to do in relationship to negative things from the past. If you're needing to do an energetic clearing with Reiki or even acupuncture, if you are needing to clear your house with sage or Palo Santo, the eclipse is a great time. It's a great time for like spring cleaning. Clean out your house. If you have items that have negative association to them, like an ex from 8 years ago gave you something, you know, it could be a time of either clearing it extensively or even just giving it away. If there's been something that's reoccurring for you, and maybe you've tried mentally approaching it, you've tried approaching it with logic, it could be a time of energetic healing, you know, more of that emotional, physical healing as well. And I can't stress enough, just good old-fashioned diet, nutrition, water, sunlight, exercise, doing what we need to do for our physical bodies. It's a good time to be proactive about these things. Now, as I was mentioning, Virgo also has this association to personal growth and personal development. And Pisces has to do with spiritual evolution as well, and energy. Like, both of these signs have a lot to do with like energy. And there could be, for some of us, like obstacles coming up. And it could be that someone from the outside is inhibiting us. It could be that we ourselves are too afraid to make a leap of faith, or we are doubting ourselves or our ability. And there's this quote, and I'm forgive me, I don't know exactly who said this. It's something along the lines of, comparison is the thief of joy. And that quote had to have come out years ago, like well before social media. And so I'm sharing that because we as humans have this tendency to compare ourselves, and have done that since the dawn of time. And now in the age of social media, there's so much to compare ourselves to. If we get online, it's like master after master after master, people who have devoted so much time and energy into things. And so I'm saying this because I think that now more than ever before, we have to really fight to stay connected to our dharma. Because it's natural to want to be the best at what we do and to be good at what we do. But things take time. It takes time to develop skills. It takes time to develop confidence. It takes time to develop rhythm in any certain hobby or profession or mission. And so it's such an important time not to focus so much on what other people are doing, but to focus on our own achievement, our own growth, and the fact that great things take time and consistency. it's okay to work on things for a long time. And it's okay to be scared to do things and to do it anyway, right? I think that it's okay to feel fear as long as we don't allow the fear to control our behavior, just like this eclipse, right? It's okay to feel fear or have limiting beliefs as long as they don't control us and as long as they don't keep us from fulfilling our dharmic mission, right? The path of dharma can be intimidating and it can be scary, but we have to be able to dig deep with our faith and confidence. And when it comes to just straight up obstacles and straight up enemies and people we don't like or competition, where prana flows, it grows, okay? Where our awareness goes, it grows. When we look at someone, there's an energy and they feel our energy. When we look at an animal, I think that this is a great example. It's like looking at a dog, they feel our energy immediately and they light up and their tail starts wagging just by making eye contact. Like they can feel the gaze, the drishti, the internal gaze, right? If you've heard the word drishti before, it's a gazing point. It's an internal gaze. It's where we look to direct our energy. If we spend all of our time applying our drishti to competition or to people we don't necessarily like, we are fueling them. We are giving our energy away to something outside of ourselves. So around this eclipse, if you feel it come up, if you feel the jealousy, or you feel the desire to compete, or you feel the desire to, I don't know, get lost in cyberspace, obsessing over somebody else's life, remember that that energy is growing whatever you look at. So if you spend time looking at someone else, you are growing their energetic aura. Direct it back to yourself. Direct it back to what you want to grow in your life. You are very powerful. You have a lot of ability. Hone in on that and make it productive. So that is a little bit on the eclipse. I do want to talk about some other factors here, and then I'll actually go into the predictions for the chart. So Mercury is going to retrograde on April 1st. Mercury will enter back into Pisces on April 9th, so right around the solar eclipse. And then Mercury will direct on April 25th. So we're kind of preparing for Mercury retrograde. We're in the shadow period of it. As always, communication, travel, technology, anything with media, anything, again, with communication, texting, emailing, phone calls, it can get a little warped. It can get confusing. So please tread with care. And Pisces is also going to contain the planets of Venus and Neptune around the eclipse. So on the eclipse, Moon and Sun are going to be at 25 degrees of Pisces. If you have planets at 25 degrees of Pisces, if you have planets at 25 degrees of Virgo, you are going to feel this exponentially. If you're in a Moon, Sun, Rahu, Ketu period, you're going to feel this exponentially. In addition to that, Venus is going to be exalted in Pisces with the planet Neptune. So there is a big emphasis on love and romance, connection, diplomacy. As I mentioned, I think that there's going to be a lot in the external world around diplomacy and humanitarian acts. And there could also be some high profile stuff with relationship and intimacy. There could be some interesting information coming out about relationships. I mean, even with quiet onset, I mean, that involved sexuality and intimacy. And with this Diddy stuff, it is about relationships. And so interesting, weird stuff can be coming up in regards to sexuality and relationships. Because Venus is with Rahu, and Rahu has more of a taboo energy, and it's with Neptune. And so Neptune can kind of cloud things. And it's like, what's real? What's not real? You know, so kind of have that in the back of your mind. There can be weird stuff in the media. In our own personal lives, this could be a time of developing a crush. You know, we might find someone quite intriguing and interesting. This could also be a period where we are really viewing the world with rose-colored glasses. Neptune tends to do that. Exalted Venus tends to do that. Pisces tends to do that. So it's a pretty romantic, creative time. I would say that this is actually more of a beneficial thing. It's an amazing time for poetry and writing. It's outstanding for photography. Neptune is great for photography. And it's a good time to be romantic and to enjoy romance with the people that we love in a really beautiful, ethical way. And I do want to say, though, that some of us may, depending on where this is happening in our chart, get this like grass is greener on the other side type of mentality. There, you know, we might kind of start fantasizing about what life could be like if we were in a relationship with somebody else or someone. So try not to get too swept away by those feelings. Try to really stay grounded and pragmatic. Finding a lot of appreciation and love for the things that we have. And it's also an outstanding time to honor goddess energy. Venus, of course, is the divine feminine. It's exalted. It's with this eclipse. And this is around the period of Chaitra Navaratri, which is the nine nights of the goddess, honoring the goddess Durga. And so just a quick reminder about Durga. She is a goddess that is responsible for offering protection and supporting us in fulfilling our hopes and wishes. And she was created by the gods Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma when they could not destroy a demon by their own volition. So essentially, there was this demon. It was super powerful. It could not be destroyed by a man. And so this trifecta, the most powerful gods in the universe, Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, came together. They used their highest qualities to cultivate Shakti, the divine feminine energy that could destroy the evil demon. And so Durga is a powerhouse. She is a force to behold. And her holiday is coming up. And so it's a beautiful time to honor the divine goddess, to bring images of Durga into your home, to offer flowers and fruit and honey and to chant. That's one final thing I'll say about this is that with the eclipse, it said that the mantra that we do, the chanting that we do, has 1,000 times the power during an eclipse. So please do meditate, spend time with spirituality, sacred text, doing practices, and chanting mantra or even writing mantra. If you want to write or chant the mantra for Durga, Om Dam Durgaye Namaha is a very easy mantra. And you can also find it on YouTube if you want to listen to it, if you don't feel confident yet chanting it yourself. But that's just a beautiful time, and it's such a beautiful time for Venus to be exalted, even with Neptune, because Neptune is this higher octave of Venus, and so it really amplifies that spiritual essence of the divine feminine. Remember that Neptune is what is not real but appears real, and it can have this confusing element to it and this strange element to it, which I think we'll see in the media. But Neptune is also this planet that is associated to other worlds, and it's highly, highly spiritual. And it is a higher octave of Venus, so it does offer beauty and luxury. And so definitely take time to slow down, to honor that beautiful energy within ourselves and within the world. Stop and smell the flowers, take beautiful pictures, share beautiful things. And again, if it is an alignment for you, maybe participating in Navaratri, these nine nights. And so looking at the chart very briefly, so remember that when we have a new moon in Pisces, this is the Vedic New Year, and this would be a new moon in Pisces. It is a new moon in Pisces, but it also happens to be an eclipse because Rahu is transiting Pisces this year. It's very rare. This does not happen very often. Thus creating this year of karma, big time. And for the United States, not only will we have this yearly chart, but we also have a Pluto return happening. We have Rahu and Ketu transiting the 4th and the 10th house. It's a pretty big deal. We have this big conjunction of Uranus and Jupiter. So when I calculate the chart for Washington, D.C. for the solar eclipse, it comes up at 2:20 p.m. And the eclipse is taking place in the ninth house. And the ninth house is about law and order, dharma, right and wrong, teachers, which could be leaders. This is a solar eclipse, meaning it's all about leaders, presidents, CEOs, people that guide. I think that this is going to be a year where so much is coming to light about leaders. And I think that people are going to be wanting something different. And I think that it's going to be a high priority to lean on leaders who are ethical and moral. I do think that there will be confusion on what that is, you know, with Rahu and with Neptune. I think that there will be confusion on who the right leader should be and who would have a better impact on the collective. I think it's going to be very, very stressful for leaders. And I think it's an incredibly karmic year for leaders, very much so. And with law and order, there may be a revisitation of big laws that we've had for a long time, rules and regulation. Jupiter is in Barney Nakshatra. Barney is the nakshatra that's associated with female reproduction. And so there could continue to be a big focus on reproductive rights and morality and things like that. Mercury is retrograde in the 10th house. I do foresee this giving fluctuations and ups and downs with the market. And I think we're just going to have such a strange year for the economy. I really do. Some people are saying it's going to be a great year. I personally think it's going to be a really weird year. And remember, we're having that Pluto return in the second house. So there's kind of like a breakdown of the economy, of debt, wealth and finances, how we manage money, the digitizing wealth, cryptocurrency, all of that. It's a big focus for the year. I personally believe, I think that there's going to be a push to kind of move things forward and to evolve things. And I'm kind of shorthanding this. We may talk about it a little bit more next week as well. But with exalted Venus, with Rahu, I think that there will be a focus on AI and limitations on AI and what that could be, because this is the ninth house of law, right? So there may be laws around technology. Technology may be getting so advanced that they have to make different types of rules for it. I think in Florida, I don't know if it passed or not, but they're working to ban social media for young people. More things like this coming up. And I think that the advancements in art and expression and technology are going to be through the roof. I know that there are some movies being made that are like pretty close to being completely AI. I think that we're going to see a lot of technological advances in regards to art and creativity and maybe music being made by AI, you know, just really interesting futuristic things. And it's with Neptune too. So I can't stress this enough. I think we're going to see some pretty interesting things coming about with artificial intelligence, particularly in regards to entertainment, art, expression. And there may need to be some laws around this being made. There may also be inventions around travel. There could be new laws around travel. I mean, this could be around gas emissions or things like that. I also see there being a lot of focus on medicine. As I predicted at the beginning of the year, big focus on medicine, particularly surgery and new technological advances with health and wellness and surgery too. I say that because Mars is in the nakshatra of Shatabisha with Saturn. So a lot of focus on medicine. And so again, I know that this is short form. I'm kind of speeding through this. I have a client here in a few minutes, to be honest. So I'm going to go ahead and begin wrapping up, but we will likely revisit this chart. And again, next week we will do the 12 horoscopes for each of the signs. And so I just want to give a shout out once again. I don't know if I said her name earlier. Yasmin is the wonderful astrologer who pointed out the ceasefire occurring on the lunar eclipse itself. She's just super, super intuitive and wonderful. And I just appreciate her so much pointing that out. So that is what I have for today. If you'd like to sign up for Patreon, again, it's patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast. My website is innerknowing.yoga. That's what we have for today. My name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you all.